WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the Donald Trump criminal trial, a former National Enquirer publisher is the key witness.
David Pecker, who was a longtime friend of Donald Trump, is continuing to testify. This is the second day of his testimony, and he's detailing a relationship that goes back to the late 1980s.
CBS's Errol Barnett says the judge did not rule on whether Trump has violated the gag order in the case. Correspondent Meg Oliver at a hotbed of pro-Palestinian protest.
Concerns about safety continue to embroil Columbia University. The environment has only escalated.
Jewish students are petrified to go onto campus.
And Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell in Washington urging final passage of foreign aid bills for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan.
Today, the Senate faces a test. And we must not fail it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is getting $124 million from the federal government to help people put solar panels on their homes. The money comes from the Inflation Reduction Act. It's part of $7 billion in grants for solar installations announced by President Biden. The money is going to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and the Midwest Tribal Energy Resources Association. Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin Monday reminding voters in La Crosse what's at stake for reproductive rights in November.
One does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree the government should not be telling her what to do with her body.
On the other hand, Donald Trump has recently said abortion is a state issue. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. In honor of Earth Day and Forest Appreciation Week, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the state will drastically increase its tree planting goals. Governor Evers had previously vowed that the state would plant 75 million trees by the end of 2030 as a boost to the environment. This week, Governor Evers announced the state will increase that goal to 100 million trees. As of the end of year 2023 report, the state had already planted 32 million new trees, getting nearly halfway to the original planting goal. Some students from the Altoona School District got a hands-on chance to learn about planting trees ahead of Arbor Day. According to a WEAU report, middle school students helped plant two honey locust trees near the high school last week, which has become a yearly partnership between the school district and the city of Altoona around Arbor Day. City officials hoped that the experience would be a good educational opportunity and show the students that if they're interested in a career in the environmental field, those jobs are out there. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers let one slip away. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing in Pittsburgh 4-2. The Brewers starter Joe Ross had pitched to 79 pitches, holding the Pirates to one run, but manager Pat Murphy pulled him in the sixth inning. Murphy asked, should he have kept him in a little longer?
No. It's always what's best for the pitcher. Squeezing more out of somebody this early in the season isn't what we've like to do.
The Brewers starters have pitched the fewest amount of innings so far this year in Major League Baseball. NBA Game 2 of the Bucks and the Pacers playoff series is tonight. Milwaukee won Game 1, 109-94 Sunday night. The NFL draft is this Thursday night. Brian Gutekunst asked if the draft board is ready yet in the Packers war room.
Really, through this past weekend, we kind of got to a point where we feel really good about where it's at. And we'll probably have one more meeting this evening and lock it up really till Thursday.
That's Packers General Manager Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly sunny skies turn cloudy as showers and thunderstorms strike. Highs today hit the low 60s, and overnight tonight we crash below freezing, so expect a frost. But this means we have a sunny and cooler day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in day 2 of the Donald Trump criminal trial, New York. Hear about the gag order and whether or not Trump has violated it. Tune in. Greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square on a sunny Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into the show, Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding producer and engineer who's always answering your phone calls with a pleasant voice. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing well this afternoon. Yeah. It is pretty sunny. It was a little more overcast this morning.
Yeah, it was. But the sun is at least here in Madison coming out. It's going to be rainy, though, as we head towards the middle and then end of the week. Into the weekend, they're saying quite a bit of precipitation, at least in south-central Wisconsin. But a lot of people, a lot of farmers, a lot of ag producers are looking forward to that rain. As long as it doesn't come too quickly, we'll be fine.
So. Yeah, I was going to say that's a good thing. And I know yesterday after work, I got home a little late because I was subbing in for Busted Pencils. Great show yesterday, by the way.
But it was. I listened to a little bit of it, and they had folks from Wisconsin Public Education Network here in Wisconsin. It was a great show.
Yeah, if you're interested in the issues that Wisconsin education's going through, I would listen to yesterday's Busted Pencils because they really summed up like all the biggest problems in 1 hour. Aside from that, we were talking about weather. It was nice to come home from work after that and be outside. And it was right. I feel like I was in the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. It was raining really hard as I was driving. It let up right when I got home. And then almost right when I got inside, it started raining really heavily again. But the smell of fresh rain.
Right. Especially in the spring.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's just what you need.
It's exactly what you need. And coming up on the show, what we need today at 12:30, our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, executive producer of the Civic Media Network, here with Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Ask him all kinds of questions, all hitherto unknown facts, as we like to say. And we'll ask him about his Bucks. Our Bucks playing tonight. Second game against the Indiana Pacers. Going to be exciting. Also, the Milwaukee Brewers. By the way, the Bucks start at 7 o'clock. You can hear it in Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, and Park Falls. And then the Milwaukee Brewers taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates at 5:05 this afternoon. You can hear that in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, and Oshkosh on those stations as well. So we'll talk to Luke about that, find out what else is going on in his wonderful mind. And also we'll have a What's Worse a little bit later on in the show as well today. Your chance to call in. It's another food. I'll give you that clue.
It's one that's very near and dear to my heart.
Is it really? All right. You have feelings is what you're saying.
But I'll explain later. All right, but in general, it's one of my favorite foods.
All right. We'll ask you what's worse a little bit later on in the show. Also, before we get any further, I want to wish a very happy and blessed Passover to all of our listeners who may be and viewers of the Jewish faith. I was negligent in not doing that yesterday because great show yesterday from Governor Gaylord Nelson State Park. out there in Lake Mendota, North Shore Lake Mendota. Again, thank you to Tia Nelson for joining us. It was just a great show, among others. And so anyway, we were busy and forgot to mark the fact that Passover started at sundown yesterday. Of course, the Jewish holiday started yesterday at sundown, days after the FBI warned of potential threats to American Jews. According to Axios, Why It Matters, the holiday is about freedom. It'll be a particularly emotional one for many Jews because of the ongoing war in Gaza and record anti-Semitism here at home. Anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. more than doubled last year, according to the final tally of cases by the Anti-Defamation League. In Israel, some families are torn on how or if to celebrate, according to the Associated Press. Of course, the holiday, Passover, started yesterday at sundown, ends on April 30th. During the first two and last 2 days of Passover, some observant Jews do not work, according to various sources. Also, Passover begins on the 15th day of the month of Nisan in the Jewish calendar, which typically falls between March and April. Passover often coincides with Easter, but the dates vary depending on the lunar calendar. So again, usually a celebratory time for folks of the Jewish faith, but obviously complicated this year. So be aware of that. Also, here's a fun fact. Passover begins on the night of a full moon in accordance with the Jewish calendar. I did not know that. And also to NASA. NASA and the Jewish calendar are getting together there to bring us a factoid. A full moon tonight, Mr. Zommers, at 7:49 Eastern. That's 6:49 tonight. Is your official full moon. It says the moon is known by many names, including a pink moon. How about that?
A pink moon tonight.
Well, we might have more on that a little bit later on full moons. So anyway, happy and blessed Passover to all of those who celebrate. Mr. Zommer said in the little pre-show, if you're watching this on the stream, he always gives you a little tidbit of things to come here today. And yeah, we want to look back on a couple of things that happened over the weekend because we had that special show yesterday on Earth Day. But I want to look back on this vote over the weekend on Ukraine and why it is so important that this passed. And I want to bring you a little nugget, a little factoid of one of the things that a lot of folks are not talking about that I think is very, very important in terms of the 2024 election. And I want to read a little bit of this from The Bulwark, Jonathan V. Last. The headline is entitled, How Biden Got Mike Johnson to Yes. Jonathan Last writes in the piece, quote, Mike Johnson continues to make good decisions for the benefit of the country, and man, things are going to get weird if I have to keep writing sentences like that. But here we are, he says. The foreign aid bills have passed out of the House Rules Committee thanks to Johnson's leadership and the mature actions of the House Democrats. For his trouble, there are now three Republicans looking to force Johnson out of the speakership. We would criticize Johnson for waiting so long, and that would be fair. But also, Last writes, at the critical moment, he stood firm. And whether we're talking about Mike Pence or Jim Mattis or Liz Cheney, that's the final measure. And while we're here, let's give some credit to Joe Biden, too. This from Politico. Quote, Johnson's support for the aid bill, part of a package that passed the House last weekend, would grant Biden a major foreign policy victory that has eluded him for a year. It would stabilize the Ukrainian defense running low on munitions and bracing for a renewed Russian offensive in early summer. It's also a validation, Biden's aides and allies say, of a White House strategy focused on slowly courting Johnson behind the scenes while letting him find his own path to a solution, even if it meant weathering frequent setbacks and building frustration within his own party. The administration held several closed-door briefings for Johnson and other lawmakers to update them on the deteriorating situation in Ukraine, starting just days after Johnson became speaker. Biden's aides' effort to privately cajole Johnson towards action mirrors the approach that the president and his advisors have taken on other high-profile issues. It seems from a belief that they have a better shot at success by persuading skeptics rather than strong-arming him, unquote. That from Politico. In The Bulwark, Jonathan Last continues on now. I know that I'm a Biden fanboy and everything, but isn't that exactly what we want in a president? Moral clarity commingled with patience and the temperament that prefers to bring people along instead of bludgeoning them. Also, aren't we supposed to want media organizations who are willing to say obviously true things instead of doing both sides theater? It's okay to say what you really think. Unquote. Those are the words from Jonathan Last in The Bulwark. I could not agree more. And I think what happened over the weekend with the passage of not just the Ukraine funding, but also that for Israel and Taiwan, is a huge victory for Joe Biden. Not just, yes, for the country, and you could say to a certain degree Mike Johnson, but it was a huge victory for Joe Biden, because here's the thing we don't realize, we don't think about. We got used to 4 years of a guy constantly on social, constantly in front of a microphone and cameras, just beating the crap out of people, saying untrue, derogatory things. And Trumpism is, at its essence, theater. Right? Remember, this is a guy who did have a top show on NBC and The Apprentice. Trump loves the theater. And oftentimes, he's very, very good at it. And somehow that got commingled with that also equates leadership and the presidency, which more often than not is not the case. Joe Biden came in, and look, I mean, he says it himself, right? Yeah, he's an old guy. But no one has more experience in getting things done than Joe Biden. And he has learned at this point in his life that if you want to get something actually done and accomplished, forget about taking the credit. Ask yourself how you can make other people the heroes. Don't mock them and ridicule them in public. Give them information behind the scenes and offer to help them. And the passage of the Ukraine bill and the rest of the foreign aid bills over the weekend is largely due to the leadership and the guidance of President Joe Biden. And the fact that he's reached the point in his life and political career that he can check his ego at the door to just get stuff done. Mike Johnson was able to come around and do this, and I don't know all of his reasons, but I'll give him credit on this one. He put his political career at risk to take this vote. Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the House of Representatives, worked with both Johnson and Biden behind the scenes to make this happen. We'll see what Democrats do if and when there is a call, a motion to vacate, basically to remove Johnson from the speakership. But I think oftentimes we've gotten to the point in American politics where it's either 100% this way or 100% that way, where pragmatism, working together to do something, has somehow gotten a bad name. And that's just not true. You look at things like, at the time, saving and advancing Social Security was a pragmatic solution by both Ronald Reagan, a Democrat in the White House, and Tip O'Neill, a Democrat, or Ronald Reagan, a Republican in the White House, and Tip O'Neill, a Democrat speaker in the House of Representatives. They each gave a little for the better good. And now we have a person like Joe Biden leading the way. Pragmatic leadership. It's not always sexy in the media, but it's what America needs. Take your phone calls after this. Give us a call at 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinaire on Air.
Get along down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try. Get along while we can. Always give love the upper hand. Paint a wall, learn to dance. Call your mom, buy a boat. Drink a beer, sing a song. Make a friend. Get along.
Little Kenny Chesney for you on a Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, 29 past the hour of 12 noon. Kenny Chesney, by the way, started his big stadium tour. Coming to Milwaukee to AmFam Field in June, I believe June 22nd.
You have tickets yet?
Not yet.
Get those tickets, Todd.
I know. Time is running out. Very excited, by the way. He's back on tour this summer. And, very excited. As Kenny Chesney says there, can't we always get along? Don't look, we can't always. I mean, when it comes to politics, right, there are two major parties and several other parties as well. But on the big stuff, it's American to be pragmatic and come together and get along. On this Ukraine stuff, the Ukraine vote. Do not get this confused. By passing this Ukraine measure over the weekend, you know who the biggest winner is going to be in many ways? Americans. On two levels. Number one, it will help Ukraine stop Putin's aggression in Eastern Europe. And if Putin is stopped there, it is much less likely that he will attack other Eastern European nations who are members of NATO. And remember, Article 5 of NATO, an attack on one is seen by an attack on all. If Trump goes into Poland, or pardon Trump, a Freudian slip perhaps. If Putin goes into Poland, if Putin goes into Latvia, if Putin goes into Lithuania, the United States will be drug in directly to a conflict. You could theoretically see men and women of America's armed forces, boots on the ground in Eastern Europe, fighting against Russians. By passing this aid bill and helping the Ukrainians, who are the victims, by the way, who were the ones attacked by Putin, we're helping them save democracy in Eastern Europe and thus lessening the chance to a great degree that America will become directly involved. And in a second point, the way this is great for America is that, remember, it's not like we're cutting a check or hauling a C-130 plane filled with money over to Ukraine and say, here you go, here's $60 billion. Most of that money is going to be spent within the lower 48, at places that make munitions, the places that make tanks, like, guess where? Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Oshkosh Corp. Lots of defense contract. Go to the Fox Valley. See how important Oshkosh Corp is to Wisconsin's economy. They will no doubt get more contracts for military vehicles because of this. And the munitions and the armored cars and the like that are aging within U.S.'s current military arsenal Those are the things that will be sent to help Ukraine. And we will build more things here in the United States, giving more Americans good-paying jobs, and help our own defensives have more modern equipment. It's a win all the way around. So I'm pleased that this passed over the weekend. Want to play a couple of cuts for you. Not sure we'll use all of these, Mr. Zalmers. Let's start with Mike Johnson. This is what Speaker Mike Johnson said before the vote on Ukraine over this weekend.
I believe this was after the vote.
I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction. This is after the vote this weekend.
The House has worked its will. These are not normal times here in the House or around the world, as we all know. And we had a disturbance here on the House floor just a bit ago. I just want to say simply what I think most people around the country understand and agree. We should only wave one flag on the House floor. And I think we know which flag that is. I said these are not normal times. They're not. The world is destabilized, and it's a tinderbox. It's a dangerous time. Three of our primary adversaries, Russia and Iran and China, are working together, and they're being aggressors around the globe. And they're a global threat to our prosperity and our security. Their advance threatens the free world, and it demands American leadership. If we turn our backs right now, the consequences could be devastating. So this afternoon, the House acted, and we sent over to the Senate, and it will be transmitted shortly, our supplemental national security legislation. And make no mistake, this is not a blank check like the Senate supplemental bill was. This is very different. Instead of taking the path of least resistance and bringing up the Senate supplemental on the House floor, or just allowing a discharge petition to pursue, which come forward, which would have had the same outcome, we gave our members a voice. We gave them a chance.
All right, let's cut off right there because I want to give them the whole context. I agree with the middle part of what he said. And the important part is they have the Speaker of the House, Republican, identifying and being in alignment with both Republicans and the Democrats, the majority in the Senate and the White House, President Biden, on the threat that Putin and China in particular and Iran all have against assets of the United States. It's important. Now, they made this big deal because at the end, a lot of the Democrats on the House floor had pocket Ukrainian flags. And once the bill passed, they brought them out and waved them and said Ukraine. Which, if you'd asked me 25 years ago if I had a problem with that, I probably would have said yes, if I'm being honest with you. But in today's world, you know, where the hashtag is nothing matters, I got no problem with it because it was simply a show of solidarity. And as former Republican House of Representatives member Adam Kinzinger retwixted after the vote, there were Ukrainian soldiers in trenches. This is the modern world, right? Ukrainian soldiers in trenches watching the vote and cheered when they saw the results. And seeing those folks with Ukrainian flags wave it, that gives them morale. And also Republicans that have a problem with for 90 seconds waving the Ukrainian flag on the House floor, did they have a problem when the flag of treason, the Confederate flag, was dragged through the halls and waved through the halls of Congress on January 6th? It's a question to ask themselves. But with the middle, and also like, Mike Johnson started saying that this bill is very different than the Senate version. It's really not. He's just saying that to make his own members happy that didn't want to vote this way, give them a little bit of cover, so to speak. But the important thing is Mike Johnson is in alignment with the threat that Russia, China, and Iran play to the United States. So you would think that all the members of the House of Representatives on the Republican side would be in alignment with that. Well, guess what? Who's not? Good old Orange County, Eric Hovde, who's not there yet, thank goodness. And also, do nothing, Derek Van Orten. Might talk a little bit about how the fact that Derek Van Orten voted no on Ukrainian aid, by the way. Come back with someone we're always glad to see, Luke Mathers. A little Tuesday tangent. Luke, stay with us at the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Well, the Class 3 milk price has been up, down, and all around so far this week. Today, prices are giving back some of yesterday's gains, but the bottom line is that the market is volatile. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing says the price swings are actually an opportunity for dairy farmers to lock in some prices. First, he tells us that the rally likely had to do with new insight on cow numbers.
You know, we're basically 71,000 head down from last year at 8.8 million head. So that combination of things has, you know, tightened up the supply chain here at the end of the winter going into the springtime window. You know, again, milk market is extremely volatile. I think we're trying to find a middle point here from the bottom, from a, you know, the first of the month of where we were yesterday. This is going to stay volatile. I think it's an opportunity for producers to get some prices locked in here as this market might be just trying to find some equilibrium with the volatile moves that we've seen.
Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Stick around for a look at your Class 3 milk prices next.
To help elevate Wisconsin's dairy industry, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has not only upheld our state's reputation for superior cheese, but they've also amplified our presence across the world. Ken Hyman, owner of Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield, shares what he's excited for the future of the dairy industry thanks to your checkoff dollars.
I see new products because we're seeing products all over the world. And as they keep coming here, as we have people who travel the world, they bring a lot of these taste things home, and this is what they're looking for. And they will pay to get that done. So what we have is we have all new products. You know, we're looking for new consumers, both here and worldwide. And we can be competitive in the world. It's all about creating demand. And honestly, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has done a really good job in allowing some of the smaller plants to be able to become a specialty, be able to become a lot of these niche markets that are so important to keep all of our dairy farmers alive here in Wisconsin.
To learn more, check out wisconsindairy.org.
From Chicago, the Class 3 milk price is giving back some of yesterday's gains. The May contract is trading at 18.10 a hundredweight, down 28 cents. The June contract is trading at 18.22 a hundredweight, down 32 cents. On the grain side, we are seeing a lift in the market. Cash corn is up a penny and a half at 4.41 and a quarter. December new crop corn is up a penny and a quarter at 4.73 and three quarters. Cash soybeans are trading up 3 1/4 cents at 11.64 and a quarter. November new crop soybeans are sitting neutral at 11.71 and three quarters. And July new crop wheat is trading up 4 cents at 5.91 and a half. Don't forget that you can follow along with more agribusiness news at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, sign up for our morning e-newsletter. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Partly sunny skies turn cloudy as showers and thunderstorms strike. Highs today hit the low 60s, and overnight tonight we crash below freezing, so expect a frost. But this means we have a sunny and cooler day tomorrow.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Lord from Patriotic Millionaires joins us to talk about tax cuts and then public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Todd Arbol Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Whether you're taking us on a walk while you eat, whether you're sitting at a park bench, maybe at your desk, wherever you are, working from home, we appreciate you taking us along with you. Always a pleasure. Whether it might be your radio, might be the Civic Media app, which you can download your Apple or Android device, or maybe you're streaming. Maybe your boss thinks you're working, but you have a little stream box there and you're streaming this, and God love you. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, exactly. Welcome back to the show, the Arbol Show on Civic Media. It is Tuesday time once again to check in with our friend, our colleague, Luke Mathers, our executive producer, for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Luke Strauer.
I'm doing well, Todd. And yes, if you're watching us on the stream box, just the terminology, Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tube. Do you refer to the television as the tube?
Not a lot.
No. The boob tube.
Boob tube? Yeah.
No, not so much.
Okay.
The streaming box.
The picture box.
Maybe Zombers can pull up. There's a great song. I forget. Fieldy would know this. We played it back in the day. It's called Mama's Got a Squeeze Box. It's a great song. And Daddy Can't Sleep All Night.
Yeah. Who is that?
I can't think of who plays or who sings that.
The Who?
The Who.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a great song.
Great band.
It really is.
Drummer.
All things are great.
Keith Moon, one of the all-time greats.
One of the, yeah. You know, he's up there on the Mount Rushmore of drummers.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know who's not great?
Who's not great?
Derek Van Orten.
Oh. We're talking about DVL?
I know nothing about his percussion abilities.
Well,
let's see which tangents we can go off on, Aaron, so we don't have to talk so much about DVL.
Well, I just want to, because we ended abruptly right before the breakdown. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the Ukraine vote over the weekend.
Yes.
And the fact that the breakdown, and the fact that, you know, look, I gave Mike Johnson credit for coming around, working with Hakeem Jeffries on the Democratic side of the aisle, and the fact that Joe Biden, rather than like his predecessor, who liked to try to beat people into submission in social media and whatnot.
Well, he took the bully pulpit really literally.
Really literally.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden's the kind of guy who's like, hey man, I don't need the credit. Let's just get stuff done.
Yeah.
And he probably doesn't say stuff, but you know, he just says, let's get it done. Which is what I love about Joe Biden.
Well, yeah, and he's been doing that. That's been the MO for the Biden administration since day one.
Right?
Like, he's been behind the scenes brokering deals, like getting things done for the American people. And yes, he's not the one that's out there being like, I need to put my name on these the
bridges.
The pandemic relief checks. Like Donald Trump like insisted on having his name on the stimulus money that came throughout the pandemic. And Joe Biden's the exact opposite. He's just like, let's get as much done as we possibly can for the American people. And why are we still talking about what I've done? We need to work on what's next to be done. And so, yeah, it's been his MO since day one.
Just getting stuff done. And you'd think that the Republican leader being on board with this, most of the other Republicans would stay around and vote. And one did. Mike Gallagher of Green Bay delayed his resignation, was going to do it on Friday, but delayed it through the weekend because he said this is so important. And Gallagher joined in with Democrats Gwen Moore and Mark Pocan to vote yes on Ukrainian aid, bipartisan vote.
Now that's the best way to celebrate 420.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And who voted against it, who voted with Putin, was Scotty Fitzgerald, Glenn Grothman, Brian Stile, Tom Tiffany, and Derek Van Orten. Which, again, for a guy who served in the military, likes to brag about it, to vote against democracy, to me, seems a little odd. Going to get Luke's take in a second. Let's go to the phone line quickly. We have Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, you want to talk about DVO? What say you?
Yeah, for Mr. Van Orten, you know, that it may be a lesson in history. Thank you, Van Orten, for your previous service. But let's remember that Benedict Arnold was also a hero of the American Revolution, of the American people, until he became a traitor and betrayed us to the British. I mean, that there's no guarantee that past service is any indicative of future performance. And we see this now in, Mr. Van Orten, where he is not defending the United States here, because that's what this vote for Ukraine is in defense of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our national interest to provide funding. And for the other Republicans that voted against this, you know, Mr. Fitzgerald, Mr. Tiffany, Mr. Grothman, Mr. Stile, they're all perhaps traitorous is too strong a word, but they betrayed our national interests.
Yeah,
in
I agree with that.
Against this bill.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Mr. Mathers, what say you?
I think it's very important to support democracy, not only abroad, but here at home. And any individual that doesn't want to support the ongoing war in Ukraine and on the side of the Ukrainians who are on the front lines, very literally in that sense. But it's very telling that those same folks that vote against aid packages like that for allies are the ones trying to make it harder to vote here in the United States. Yes. And so I think those parallels should be drawn, and there should be folks all around the nation and the state of Wisconsin standing up for democracy. And those yes votes for Ukraine, I think, do that. And a lot of what we're trying to do with informing the public here at Civic Media does that as well.
Yeah.
Trying to defend our democratic little d institutions.
Speaking of keeping people informed here at Civic Media, Luke, tell folks a little bit. I know we're going to be speaking of the 3rd Congressional District. There are three folks on the Democratic side of the aisle who are running right now in a primary. And Civic Media is going to be highlighting some of their debates as we go through the election season.
The forum.
It's a forum, not a debate. Please,
correct.
No wager.
Correct. So there are three very different candidates running in the Democratic primary to represent the 3rd Congressional District. This is one of those districts that is a purple district. Out of the districts that will determine what party takes control of the House of Representatives, Wisconsin's 3rd is at the top of that list of how competitive districts that will decide that majority come January of 2025. Mm. And so Civic Media is very excited to be able to broadcast to the Civic Media affiliates in the 3rd Congressional District, this forum that's taking place. We hope that we're going to be able to do this for candidates running across the state for these very important congressional and other elected offices here in 2024. And so the first one's going to be tomorrow night, going to be broadcast across several different 3rd Congressional District's Civic Media stations, including locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, the TAP in Chippewa Falls, WCFW, as well as the Eagle in La Crosse. So we do have the Brewers broadcasting across our RCE affiliate into the Richland Center, but we will have the opportunity as well for that 3rd Congressional Civic Media Station to be broadcasting future forums.
Yeah.
So looking forward to informing the public about where these candidates stand, because on the Democratic side, there's not going to be a Republican primary. DVO is the incumbent there. But three very different candidates vying for the Democratic nomination in the 3rd Congressional District. And it's going to be very interesting to see what they present to voters at tomorrow night's forum and how Wisconsin voters decide in that August primary and eventually in November who will represent that district in Congress next year.
And here's what you do for all of our friends listening on WRCE News from the Center of Richland Center. Just download yourself the Civic Media app onto your phone, and then you just dial up the Eagle in La Crosse, or maybe Homegrown Radio over there in Wisconsin Rapids. All the great folks there. In Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire.
We can't stream the Brewers, so if you download the Civic Media app, you might be able to write on News from the Center. We're working it out with our engineers. They're working very hard and diligent. The hardest working people in radio, I tell you.
The hardest working people in
Civic
show business.
Media engineers, hats off to you, my friends. Hardest working folks in radio. And hopefully you can stream on WRCE the forum as well tomorrow night.
Very good. But if for whatever reason you can't, you go to one of those other stations and still hear it. As people like our friends, we have people down in Grant County that might want to listen as well, because that's part of the 3rd. And speaking of that, I'm heading out to Grant County, northern Grant County, Muscogee, Wisconsin, the home of the Morel Mushroom Festival, by the way.
Okay.
There is a, speaking of forums, tonight around 6 o'clock at the Cradwell Building, the town hall in Muscogee, about, a stone's throw, 15 minutes south of Richland Center. You've got State Senator Kelda Royce, and also one of those candidates for Congress, State Representative Katrina Shankland, are holding a forum down in Muscogee tonight, open to the public, on the University of Wisconsin system.
Not a forum on the mushrooms?
Not a forum on the mushrooms, but let me tell you, if you've never been to the Morel Mushroom Festival, get your rear end down there, because it's a good time had by all, as they say.
I believe it. Well, look at that. Forums all around.
There is forums all around.
You're very plugged into the community, Todd.
Well, that's what civic media is about. Yeah. In all seriousness, this, I think, defines these third district forums, defines in large part the vision of civic media, which is bringing local folks information without interruption or analysis. Just here it is in people's own words for you to decide for yourself, because not everybody in every city is going to be able to get to these in person. Now you can listen and make an informed decision come August.
Yeah, and there's with the new congressional maps, this is only the second cycle that we've ran on these mm-hmm. congressional maps. There's going to be brand new assembly and state senate district maps. There's going to be a need across the state of Wisconsin now more than ever for the information like that, Todd, where people can tune in and find out what the individuals running to represent them stand for and their vision for what the state or where the nation should be going. And so we're thrilled to be able to have this opportunity, and it's going to be a busy 2024.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's going to be a lot of fun as well, particularly if you're a political junkie, as long as it doesn't, you know, I say that in one regard, but then another way, I'm like, really, Todd? Right? Because, I mean, I like the fair debate. It's just the crap when people throw the crap at each other that has no basis. That's the stuff that gets... Yeah,
that's why I'm excited it's a forum format rather than a debate, because I'm hoping there's not going to be a whole lot of gotcha pitting against the... Like, right. We just want to see where these individuals stand. And again, three very different candidates.
Yeah.
Like, the backgrounds of these three candidates running for the Democratic nomination in the 3rd Congressional District... I don't know if they could be any more different. Like it is a variety and which direction Democratic voters in the 3rd Congressional District want to go for who's going to try to represent them and go up against Derek Van Orden in the 3rd is going to be, I think, a very interesting bellwether for where the state's going come November.
Lukester wanted to make a bet with me last week, and I said, no, I'm done betting with Luke because I always lose. And it turns out I maybe should have taken the bet or not, because we both would have been even. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Chucky Hepburn, of course, went into the portal for Wisconsin men's Badger basketball. I said he was going to Michigan State. Lukester said, no, he's going home. He's going to Nebraska. Well, it turns out the Connor Assegian went to Nebraska, and now reports that Chucky is headed to Louisville.
Really? I saw the Connor Assegian news. I did not see the Chucky Hepburn news.
It's not official yet with Hepburn.
Okay.
Apparently, it's being shopped around. But now here's a case where Louisville was in the toilet last year in terms of like their record. But yeah, they got a name, and of course, you know, Rick Pitino ginned up the NIL machine before there was NIL. You know, with hookers.
That's one way to look at that. He was ahead of his time. He was a pioneer.
There's a reason that Rick Pitino ain't at Louisville anymore, you understand. And I had to do an unsanctioned NIL. Yeah. But it appears now that there may be a huge NIL deal at Louisville for Chucky Hepburn, and the guy just goes there for the money. I guess you can't blame a guy for making bank, but I think it degenerates or degrades the experience for a college sports.
I have a feeling like there are a number of very good collegiate athletes out there that, despite being good in their conferences or for their teams, they don't have necessarily what it would take to be successful at the next level. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it's the case for Chucky. I'm just saying like that is the case for a lot of different college athletes. Mm-hmm. And this new system of the Wild Wild West that is NIL deals, I think it's completely fair for a player to be like, hey, I'm not going to be able to go make millions in the NBA or the NFL or whatever professional league it would be for them after college. I don't fault them at all, because you got a lot of these athletes that are putting their bodies on the line for these college programs that are making a lot of money for these colleges, but then they don't get to actually see it in success for themselves. And so it'll be interesting to see.
Up against the clock, yes or no, NIL for Wisconsin high school athletes.
It sounds like from the reporting here at Civic Media, our one and only Jimmy Koska is saying he thinks it's likely to pass.
Huge mistake. Long answer.
That's the reporting. Don't get mad at me. Don't shoot the messenger.
We're going to find out what's grinding Luke's gears on the other side. Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turn 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 12 noon. There's a song I was talking about. Mama's got a squeeze box. Daddy can't sleep all night. Great song, but the Who. Who? The Who. All right, we are up against the clock. I asked an unfair question. I may have mischaracterized. And in pursuing truth, wherever it may lead, we'll make sure we have a little time for rebuttal. I asked you what you thought of NIL deals in high school athletics in Wisconsin, which is going to be voted on this week by the WIAA, the sanctioning body of high school. And you gave a legit response that our news team is reporting that they think it may pass.
It's going to pass, yes.
But you personally?
I don't have a horse in the race, honestly.
Like, are you? If you did, how would you vote?
I would want, again, the same thing. The certainty,
the equivocation.
The certainty of going on to play at a college like D1, D2, D3 school and ultimately go pro is such a small share of these athletes that you get the bag while you can. If there's a car dealership that wants to sponsor or however, I don't know any of the intricacies of how it would work, but why not be able to get a check for $500 or $1,000 from having your face on the local advertisement? Like, no. I don't see...
You want a 16-year-old kid being given hundreds, not thousands of dollars to play high school sports or be given a car. How do you think the rest of the team, the one or two kids, guys or gals, that are really good on the team, they get a new car and the rest of the team just has to ride their bike?
How does it work for the one or two kids that are really, really good that get the D1 scholarships?
That is the collegiate
You're
level.
Just saying, no, but it's the tangible return on what you can provide to that athletic department at the given time. If you're telling me that you get a full ride scholarship to a school that you probably couldn't have got into academically, but you all of a sudden, like, that is a lot more than a new sedan that you're driving around the high school parking lot.
I just think that high school, your teenage years in high school should be a different experience than if you choose, and not everyone does, if you choose to go to college.
I think it could get out of hand and there should be put some restrictions on it. But at the same time, I don't think it's that out of the box thinking.
Luke's looking at future returns for his potential children.
I don't see any future athletes.
I think we need to think of the psychological impact because adults aren't prepared for this kind of thing most of the time. Like, you look at reality TV shows. Yeah. Obviously, that's a different level of scrutiny. That's much more intense. But being on a reality TV show destroys people's psyche because we're not... Like,
winning the lottery does it too. There's plenty of things that all of a sudden you come into to absurd amount of money for no reason. It's
so
like
everything just destroys it. So why not?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm not completely against it. I don't know what's going to happen with the vote tomorrow morning, but it will be interesting to see what happens.
855-752-4842. Kurt, listening on WMDX in Madison. Kurt, help us out. What say you?
Okay, this really bothers me. Okay. It's a massive conflict of interest
Either the institutions are about education or they're about being feeder mechanisms to professional sports. If this is the route we're going to go, then let's separate the sports mechanism from the institution of education and treat it like a trades do for being a plumber or electrician. So instead of going to college for the sake of the name of the college to play basketball or football to gain a high-paying job in that sport, then do that. But to take the institution of education and just make it a subset of playing a game, I just don't see it.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Kurt. Thank you so much. One last thing on this. My dad coached wrestling cross country for several years, coached the Bay Conference up in Shawano. And I remember going to track meets, and this is a name that some Republicans may remember, John Gard, former Speaker of the Assembly, John Gard, who was from Peshtigo up there and ended up coaching cross country. And forgive me for our Green Bay listeners, I think it's Notre Dame Academy is the private high school up there. And the Shawano team, all the other public schools would roll into the cross country meet, and they would have maybe one little pop-up tent, you know, for Wisconsin one or whatever. Maybe none, in a yellow school bus. And Guard's team and the private school rolls up with a coach bus, three tents, basically a cook. I mean, it's out at a training table. It looks like a D1 college program up there. Now add on NIL money, and you're going to have high schools trying to lure and recruit kids under open enrollment using NIL money.
And also,
and I think that should be a limit on it. I don't think you should be able to do that. I don't think there's plenty of high schools that have gotten trouble for trying to recruit kids from out of the district, and there are already restrictions on that. So I believe this would, you trying to lure away any students that would be just high athletic performers. I believe there's already mechanisms in place to prevent that.
And also, we got a text from Cam from Nina, right on the money, something I was going to bring up. Cam says, hey, don't get me wrong. I think this stuff needs to be talked about, but it's completely insane to me how casual conversations like this are for sports, but then any other fields like art or engineering. Oh, I don't know if we can spend money here to even fund the program at all. But how are we going to build a new football field if we have an art class? And I completely agree. Conversations like this are always about football and basketball, men's basketball, and everything else gets thrown by the wayside. And I think NIL in high school would exacerbate the problem greatly.
Yeah, I mean, NIL certainly open to other things, but you're right.
It wouldn't. It would just make the problem worse that all these other programs wouldn't get funded because the focus would be even more on sports.
Yeah, I think you just tax the rich and make sure that our public education schools are well funded.
I don't think,
right? But I'm just saying, like, I don't think that the current problem of addressing whether or not student athletes can make money off of their name, image, and likeness is necessarily equatable. Like, I think we could potentially do both.
Luke Mathers, what else is grinding your gears? I mean, this wasn't
pickup truck drivers, right. and I hope you feel personally attacked by this one.
Here we go. I should not. All right, go.
You asked. Yep, what's grinding my gears? Geez, people. I don't know what it is that everybody. It's not just pickup drivers, but I was on the phone with a colleague yesterday, and while I was driving, hands free, but it was through the system and everything, safe. And he and I both had to stop talking because somebody was riding my butt so hard in a giant truck. And then I was going 2 or 3 miles over the speed limit. I was going 32 in a 30 zone. I wasn't lollygagging for a Sunday afternoon. Right on my butt, curved around me, started shouting at me through the window, and then cut me off.
But it's not.
People, there's no rush to get to where you're going. Go the speed limit. Obey the laws of the road. Jeez.
I agree with that part, but as a pickup truck driver, it ain't just us.
You're oversampling of those. Bucks and six, baby. Bucks and six.
Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next show, John McGivern, host of PBS's Main Streets, joins the show and we talk yacht rock with Yachtly Crew lead singer, Billy Ocean.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheese Ball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS.